Next section, domicile. There is no statutory definition of domicile, although the coalition government intends to review the current rules. HMRC's guidance tells us that domicile is a general law concept, distinct from nationality or residence, and that broadly speaking, you are domiciled in the country where you have your permanent home. HMRC has always insisted that domicile is only relevant for tax purposes if someone wishes to claim the remittance basis. But as I always point out on my training courses, domicile is also relevant for certain travel expenses that can be claimed by non-UK domiciled employees working in the UK. An individual is normally domiciled in the country or state of their permanent home, and everyone must have a place of domicile, which for most people is normally their place of birth. It may therefore be different from where they live or work. Another example. Barry was born in Barnet and moved to Belgium, where he has worked for the last 10 years. He's recently been seconded to Israel, where he will work for just 9 months. Barry is UK domiciled because that's where he was born and brought up. He is ordinary resident in Belgium because he's been there for 10 years. And he will become a short-term tax resident of Israel because he'll be there for more than 183 days. Next, I want to look at the domicile of origin, which people normally acquire at birth. It will normally be the domicile of the child's father at the time when the baby is born. Where a child is born in a country that is different from the domicile of the father, the child will normally take the domicile of the father. So Barry, for example, where the child was probably born in Belgium, the child would still be regarded as UK domiciled. Where a child's mother is not married or is legally separated, any children she has will be domiciled in her country of domicile. Next, we have the domicile of dependents, which would apply to any children who are not old enough to choose their domicile. And it could apply to a married woman who adopts her husband's domicile if the husband's domicile is different from his wife's at the time of the marriage. Finally, and what can be more problematical, is the domicile of choice. Unlike tax residents, we can only have one domicile at any time. But this may change if an individual makes that decision to change the domicile. However, the individual will have to satisfy HMRC that the change has taken place. HMRC guidance states that you have the legal capacity to acquire a new domicile at age 16, and it tells us that to make that change, you must leave the existing country of domicile and settle in another country. Anyone doing this may need to prove strong evidence of the intention to live there permanently or indefinitely. Living in another country for a long time, although an important factor, may not be accepted as sufficient proof. For example, John, who moved to Australia at age 17, settled there, married an Australian, and together they have children. HMRC would undoubtedly accept that someone in these circumstances has chosen and established a new life and a new domicile in Australia. There has always been a great reluctance on the part of HMRC and indeed the Old Inland Revenue to give a domicile ruling. And its stated position is that it will only consider the question of domicile if it is immediately relevant in deciding the income tax liability or capital gains tax liability. HMRC has now withdrawn the form DOM 1 that was previously used to make an application for a ruling. In my view, domicile is relevant at other times when non-domiciled people come into the UK are able to claim additional tax relief for travelling expenses.